Now, if you ever doubted that Saudi Arabia was a male-dominated society, well, then the stats which I'm about to reveal will absolutely set you right, because 45% of the country's population of 28 million are female, but women make up only 15% of the workforce. And that is despite the fact that over half of all Saudi women have university degrees. Now, the government is encouraging more women to enter the workforce because they have introduced what's called a feminization programme, which includes replacing men who work in lingerie stores with women. Khalid Al-Qadir is a founder of glowwork.net, which is a recruitment site for women in Saudi Arabia, and he joins us now from Riyadh. Good afternoon to you, Khalid.
Good afternoon, Angus.
Now, when you set up this agency last year, you met with some opposition. Tell me about that, please.
Yeah, I mean, it was a new thing that entered the country, something that was fresh, and we knew that we were taking a risk because the whole concept of females working in the kingdom was not on the agenda. And once we started purely just a website linking employers and job seekers together online, we did find a bit of an opposition from certain segments of the country's demographic.
And who do you think they were, and what were they saying to you?
I mean, the comments that we got is that females' place is at home, they should stay and raise the kids. It was mainly, and we received a lot of threats by phone or by email. And we actually sat and thought if this was something that we really wanted to continue. You know, this is something that we want to give back to the community. And if we really believe in it, we have to continue and strive forward. And so we started working on a lot of on-the-ground initiatives that have helped change some of the laws and policies that you're hearing about when it comes to feminization in the kingdom.
And are you doing this, as you say, because you want to see this change, or was there any element of this as a good opening in a market and you could end up making a lot of money out of it?
It's a mix of both. I took it as a social venture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout my experience, which has been mainly in throughout marketing and corporate social responsibility, this was something I wanted to give back to the community. And at the same time, I took it from the angle, how can I make it sustainable and maybe even profitable? Now, having women work in the workforce is something that impacts the economy at a very large scale. You know, in Saudi Arabia, there's huge liquidity that females own in the kingdom. And there is a lot of business opportunities for companies to target women. And what we've seen is that the whole feminization, let's say, you know, previously in the kingdom, the retail industry was all governed by male expatriates. So you have the lingerie stores, you have the cosmetic stores, were all males that were selling to females.
Well, you're a married man. How would your wife feel about going into a lingerie store where it's a man who's going to be serving her if she wants to buy intimate objects or whatever?
Well, this is it. I mean, she used to do most of her shopping online. And so it impacts the business. And people here did not understand that it's just common sense to have a female selling to another female. Now, the law came into play this January. All the lingerie stores have to have their front office mandatorily as Saudi women. And this month, all the cosmetic stores have to mandatorily have all their front office sales staff as women. And next year, even the jewelry stores will also have females. This means in the retail industry, in the next 3 years, 400,000 jobs will be created for Saudi females alone.
Well, I mean, that's a very positive step, but on the face of it, it looks great. However, am I right in thinking that women are not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, so therefore, how do they get to work?
That's right. Now, the government is looking at a number of options, whether it's subsidizing transportation. The whole female to drive is an issue, and I would love to see it change, but it needs to take a couple of steps. The infrastructure is not there right now. We do not have the proper infrastructure in the kingdom to support females driving.
What do you mean by infrastructure?
I'll tell you, the infrastructure, for instance, driving schools currently. The driving schools, we do not have, for males, we don't have proper driving schools. I myself don't even like to drive in the kingdom and have use taxis. But the when I say infrastructure, I mean driving schools. The first step someone could do, and similar to what we did when we created the website and it caused the buzz over jobs to work, is to create or establish a small center, start educating women on how to drive, and then slowly the public will start to see the benefit of this, and it will be rolled out on a much larger scale. You know how we market our employment or female employment is right now we're saying to the males, stop having your wife being dependent on you. The extra income in the household is good. And people here in the kingdom maybe have approximately only 20% on their own homes. So when they start seeing this extra income that comes into the household, this will change lives, you know. Even if she's working from home, let's say, after a year or 2 years, the husband will say, you know, this extra income is something that I need or something that is much beneficial for the family.
Well, everybody likes to have plenty of money coming in, but I'm just thinking of the Irish situation. I mean, we're only 40 years since married women could not work in the civil service. That has only been changed since 1973. But it strikes me that if you're a very male-dominated society, a patriarchal society, the men mightn't like this kind of change, or they may feel that it's a slight on their masculinity or whatever, to have women in the workplace, to have women driving. How do you think the men will react, first of all?
You know, speaking to a number of CEOs, HR representatives, everyone is very hyped up to these new changes. Why? At the beginning, they were not so sure if it is the right thing, right step, and if they were able to find the right talent. And suddenly, when you see ladies starting to work in retail, starting to work in manufacturing industries, when the productivity level goes up, when the sales goes up, and they realize that this is, you know, what have we been doing for the past 30 years, this is now changing the mindset. The king is coming up with a lot of new reforms, and you see that females are now allowed to participate in the municipality elections and to become members of the Shura Council, which is the advisory board for the king. These are all new steps which we might not see today or tomorrow in the short term, but it has an extremely long, huge impact.
Yes, it will take many years for that to begin to filter through. But what about the normal day-to-day existence for women in Saudi Arabia? I'm thinking, for example, of if your wife goes into a coffee shop and wants a cup of coffee, can she sit anywhere or are there separate places for her?
Previously, the malls are only families were allowed to enter malls at certain periods of the day. Now it has opened up to both singles and families to enter the malls and experience this experience. Things are opening up throughout the kingdom. But again, one thing I have to remind you of, Angus, is we have something we call tradition, which is the things that we're trying to change. And then we have something we call religion, which is will not change. And the tradition is something that people have just been accustomed and used to throughout the years, whether it's been wrong practice, whether it's something that their grandfathers used to tell them. And this is what we're trying to change now. And especially the king has come up with extremely great programs, educational programs, to send students abroad. And we have approximately 130,000 Saudi students studying in the UK, in the US, and in Canada. And so they get the sense of experience of what's happening outside and what's going on. And
how does that experience then filtrate itself down into society? And I'm thinking, obviously, in Ireland, we have major problems on occasions with binge drinking. And, you know, we always talk in our advertising campaigns, enjoy alcohol sensibly. But, you're not allowed to drink alcohol where you come from. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Should that or could that change?
No, it's a good thing. I mean, we it's again, it's a religious thing. It's not a traditional factor. So they want to drink alcohol. There is countries close by. They're most welcome to drink alcohol there. But here in the kingdom, it's something that is governed by religion, and we have to follow and adhere to that. We look at the people coming from abroad. I am one of them. I studied half of my time in the UK and in Canada. And, you know, I'm trying to make a difference through these initiatives on the ground. And there are many more similar to me that are trying to do the same thing. So you start to see the change that's coming from the learnings that we are taking abroad and bringing it here.
What sort of jobs, Khalid, are you able to advertise for women now particularly? I mean, is there equality across the workplace? Can they work on building sites, for example?
Yes. Now, what we are working on is opening up new sectors. So the retail industry, we're very happy. Things are moving great. Now we're looking at opening up the tourism sector, where females have not had opportunities there. The tourism, the food and beverage sector, the diplomatic mission. So we're looking at having females not only work at entry-level positions, but also senior roles. So we have jobs on our website for CFOs, general managers, and with this, not only are we creating jobs, but also the great thing about it is the current Minister of Labour, who comes previously from the private sector, and he has this plan for women in the workforce. So he has a steering committee, which he meets once a month and comes up with solutions and ideas to how to put women more into the workforce. So one of the things is the equality and pay scale. This was also launched this year. This month, the announcement of the if any company has over 50 employees, 50 females working, they must adopt a nursery in their buildings. Yesterday, the announcement of Saudi women will be able to work as lawyers. This is also all new. So you start to see that it's all opening up in the kingdom and towards the positive direction.
And at the moment in the workplace, I believe women and men have to be segregated.
Correct. There are some businesses where you can't. So hospitals, you cannot segregate males and females. And the banks as well, there is interaction between males and females. But the other sectors and industry, mostly there is a segregation, but there is always a sort of an interaction, whether it's by face-to-face or they meet in the middle, let's say.
Let's say you get a CV in from a 25-year-old woman who is a carpenter or wants to be a carpenter and she wants to work in that particularly male-dominated traditional role. What would you be saying to her? What could you fix her up with?
Well, there are a lot of positions now where companies are building manufacturing and factories purely for females. So just last week, we helped hire 30 ladies in the space of one week. In manufacturing and putting together fluorescent lights. And they're all Saudi women. They're working, you know, from 8 to 3 p.m. And their job is basically just put together these fluorescent lights. And they're all quite happy with their jobs. This is also something that's new. And the great thing is the company is recognizing that the productivity rate of how the female is operating is great, because the female, when she sits on her desk, she does not move. The guy normally goes out for his coffee, his tea break, his smoke break, or he says he has to go pick up the kids. Lady will be there from the start of work until the end of the time, and she's very productive.
It just seems to me extraordinary that over 60% of the Saudi population is of a quite young age, between 20 and 30, and yet there is this need for change, and yet it's slowly coming. Having said that, there must be some people, some women there, who don't want to change, who want to stay with the old ways.
Most definitely. I mean, we've been given access to the database of unemployed females. So, for instance, we had a job the other day announced, which is a job to work from home at a very good salary, approximately around £1,000 a month. And all she would do is secretary work from home. And from 20 candidates on the website, only one was interested in the role. And those were all unemployed, and all she would have to do is work from home. It's just because it's not about how she doesn't want to work. It's just, again, we're trying to break this traditional factor of the reliance on males as well.
On a personal level, how do you manage with your wife, who's a consultant, who's working in the workforce? I mean, do you have arguments over who makes the big decisions in your house? Who wears the trousers?
Well, it's a 50-50 relationship. And this is, I think, how most young couples are here now. They build their relationships based very equal on decision, on what are we having for dinner as well, and we always pitch in each other, you know, day to day routines.
Is there any sense that women might be afraid to speak out? That while all this change appears to be happening, and it is a great thing to see it, but is it just lip service? And if people actually started to give out or whatever, would they be seen as militants? Would they be fearful of their safety? Would they be fearful of what might happen to them?
Not at all. Everything is very much open in the kingdom, and there is now with all the social media. You know, Saudi Arabia is the number one country per capita that uses websites such as YouTube and Facebook, and these are latest statistics from Google. Everyone is very open to speak, and there is no fear whatsoever in expressing needs.
Does a woman need the permission of her husband to go to work?
No, not need her permission to go to work or anything. She has her own right of mind and she can take her own decisions.
Well, look, you're talking about this fantastic change, which we're delighted to see, but would you be able to put a time frame on it? I mean, in 5 years' time, if I was to talk to you, would you be telling me about your wife driving to work in a mixed office, perhaps stopping to have a cup of coffee anywhere she wants and maybe come home, you'll have the dinner cooked and she might enjoy a glass of wine with you?
Well, I think what I really suggest is you call me back in 5 years, Angus, and hopefully I will tell you that exactly what you just mentioned now will be happening, except for that part where, again, we do not mix the religion with the tradition.
So the alcohol is not a runner?
No.
All right. Khalid, listen, thank you so much for giving us that insight into the changing face of Saudi Arabia. And it to me, I have to say, it's a wonderfully positive thing to think, because the female workforce will bring an awful lot to your country culturally and socially, and it will make such a difference to the next generation.
Thank you very much, Angus. Thank you.
Somebody's been on to say, what a pleasure listening to Khalid in Saudi Arabia. He is so accurate, precise and to the point. He was indeed.